Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
So the International AIDS Conference kicked off today. Really, really some interesting things that came through. Some gains, some losses. We want to hear from the Treatment Action Campaign. Anele Yawa has been following this, obviously quite connected to this Treatment Action Campaign. Anele, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Evening to you and the listeners at home.
Anele, you know, you've been watching this. This is the kind of work that you do on a daily basis. Some of the issues that came through with the, obviously, some other counterparts coming through with their testimonials, some reports, just your engagements leading up to today. Give us a sense of how things have been going.
Okay, firstly, thanks for having us as Treatment Action Campaign. And as Treatment Action Campaign, we have taken a decision to boycott the 25th International AIDS Conference, which is being held in Germany, because Germany is supporting the government of Israel, the same government of Israel, which is committing genocide against the people of Palestine. And as the result of that, the state of healthcare system in Palestine is in shambles, and as the result of that, the majority of the public health care users in Palestine, including people living with HIV, are unable to access the life-saving treatment. So as TAC, we wrote to the board of the International AIDS Society, which is an organization organizing this international conference, to raise our concerns and to say we cannot be hosting this 25th International AIDS Conference in Germany, a country which is supporting a country that is perpetuating genocide against innocent people. But also, if the International AIDS Conference is about an end to AIDS, what are we saying about the majority of people living with HIV in Palestine who are not having access to antiretroviral and other healthcare services? So, based on that reason, we decided as TAC to boycott the 25th anniversary. But on top of that, we feel that since time immemorial, the International AIDS platform, we have used it as activists to raise critical issues, which seeks to address issues related to the global response to HIV. We used to picket there against pharmaceutical companies, against duty bearers who takes wrong decisions that affect or and impact the lives of the people at the end of the day. Yet this conference, because of the existing laws in Germany, activists are not allowed to do any type of picket or demonstration because of the existing laws there. And we felt that we cannot participate in the International AIDS Conference, which is held this year. But having said that, as TAC, we are still committed to be part of the global response to end HIV by making sure that people living with HIV are having access to antiretroviral treatment, and making sure that those who do not know their HIV status, they go to the facilities and be tested, and those who are negative are being initiated on PrEP. But also above that, as the country, we're still having a problem of not being able to meet the second 95 and the third 95, which is retention to care as well as adherence. And this is one of the things that we are working on in the country to make sure that all people who are initiated on treatment, we do not lose them in the process, but they remain in the program whilst we are making other ways and means to ensure that other people living with HIV who are not yet initiated on treatment are being initiated on treatment, to make sure that everyone who is living with HIV has access to antiretroviral treatment.
How have your efforts then been received in South Africa? Because I'm sure that you've been engaging directly with government, especially for those who did fall out of the treatment because of COVID. We were told that a number of people were not able to continue their treatment and were not able to sustain their treatment. Are we anywhere near sort of getting everybody back on treatment again? That that was initially on treatment before COVID? How are we doing in that front?
I can safely say that the way we are being received as the government is no longer the same way our government perceived treatment action campaign during the dark days of AIDS denialism. The government currently has since adopted a different approach of working together with civil society and organizations like TAC to make sure that everyone who is living with HIV is initiated on treatment. And as the result of that, we all know that in the country, we've got the new National Strategic Plan, as well as the National Department of Health has introduced the last year revised antiretroviral clinical guidelines, which actually says, among other things, simply because our health facilities are congested and all those people who are stable on treatment, they must be decanted. It therefore means people who are stable on treatment, they need to go and collect their treatment on the external pickup points. Some of them, you get them in our malls in the form of the pharmacies. But also on top of that, as part of decongesting our health facilities and to reduce the number of clinic visits, people who are stable on treatment, one of the things that we're advocating for is for them to be given 3 to 6 months supply of antiretroviral treatment so that they don't end up frequenting visits to facilities. So these have been well received, and I can safely say that from the level of the National Department of Health, the reception is very well, but the problem is where the actual delivery of services is taking place, which is at facility level as well as at district level.
So, I mean, obviously, you not being there makes your voice not being heard, because issues of treatment, you were saying earlier, you know, there are obviously other political issues that come into the fray, political matters that interfere with some of health matters that the globe is faced with. Funding is one such issue. The pricing of medicines is another. Your take on how other nations are dealing with the fact that there are calls to reduce the price of medication, to reduce this again more than we are seeing right now, and that the donor funding doesn't disappear.
Yes, so one, it is a fact that the donor funding within the HIV response is shrinking drastically, because many people have a thinking that we are winning the battle to end AIDS. But also the issue of expensive medicines, not only for antiretroviral, but for other opportunistic infections that are related to HIV as well as non-communicable disease, because one must understand that if someone is living with HIV, that person is immunocompromised, and when that person is initiated on treatment, that person begins to pick up. But also people living with HIV, or number of instances, are also infected by other illnesses, and as a result of that, like for instance, you talk about your cancer, you're talking about your tuberculosis and all what have you. So in the country, we can have a affordable and accessible antiretroviral treatment, but what about the treatment for tuberculosis? What about the treatment for cancer as well as other illnesses? And it therefore means, as the country, our response to HIV must not only focus on antiretroviral, but it must also focus on access to effective and affordable medicines, including non-communicable diseases, including tuberculosis, including cancer. Because if we are going to treat HIV and not being able to treat TB the same way and apply the same efforts that you are applying on HIV, it therefore means we are going to lose many people, because as it stands, many people living with HIV are succumbing to cancer, to tuberculosis and other non-communicable diseases. It therefore means, in order for us to win the battle, we need to take an integrated approach instead of having a single-minded approach.
So there is this goal, 2030, to what legally people are saying, eradicating AIDS. I don't think it's literal. But to you, what does the 2030 goal mean? And what is actually achievable within this time frame?
It is easily said than done. You know, it will be good if everything that we say, we are able to translate it into reality. Let me give you just a typical example. 2 weeks back, we all heard sad stories of about 230 babies who were born in the past 6 months from HIV negative women, but after 6 months they were tested HIV positive. The question we must ask, what makes us to go through that? And also the other question that we need to ask ourselves, in the past 25 years we were able as organizations like TAC and other progressive forces to fight for the prevention of mother to child transmission therapy, and all those babies before they were unborn we were able to save them from contracting HIV. But 25 years down the line, the same babies that we saved their lives from contracting HIV, 25 years down the line, they form part of the statistics of the newly HIV infection. So
why is that?
That's why.
Is it a scientific thing? Where have we dropped the ball?
Where we have dropped the ball, like for instance, let me give you a typical example.
Yes.
How many people in South Africa who knows that there is a prevention preventative methods like your PrEP?
Yes.
And if one is initiated on PrEP, that person will not contract HIV, and PrEP is accessible and available in our facilities. But how many people who have more information and knowledge about the efficacy of PrEP so that the uptake of PrEP can be able to increase? Because most of the times these medicines, they get expired in our clinics because of a low uptake of PrEP. So it has something to do with awareness, with education, but as well as the attitude of mind. But also, we cannot run away from some other issues, like issues of a broken public healthcare system where we have shortage of nurses, and those that we have, they are overburdened, and as a result of that, some of them, they end up having negative attitudes towards their patients. They end up treating them very bad, and as a result of that, some of the people, they decide to disengage from our healthcare facilities. And it therefore means if that person is living with HIV, is treated in a facility and decides to disengage, that people will not be accessing treatment, and that person will be engaging on sexual intercourse without that person having added retroviral or accessing PrEP. What damage is that person causing to the society? So our response to HIV, it must not only be about the medicines. It also needs the attitude of mind. We need to have the staff that we have in our country to have a changed mindset, so that people living with HIV and key population, when they go to facilities, they don't experience a situation of being stigmatized and discriminated. But also in some instances, some people happened to miss their appointment dates in clinics, and when they come the following day, they are made to stand right at the back of the queue. But also the other issues that we still have in our country, some people, if you do not have a transfer letter, you moved from this community to the other area. When you go to the next area to access treatment, you will be told of a transfer letter, and if you don't have that transfer letter, you will be denied under retroviral. It therefore means the system makes people to default. And on top of that, we've got challenges around the missing patient file. If my file is getting missing in a facility, it therefore means my medical record is lost. And all the information the health system had about me is lost. And chances of me being given a wrong medication is very high. So there is a lot of things. There are a lot of things that we need to embark on, not only as civil society, but also as the entire society, because the majority of the people of South Africa are poor people, are from working class background, and these people, the majority of them, are accessing healthcare services within our public healthcare system. And if these issues will continue to unfold as I have described them. It therefore means we are having more chances of losing many people, and as a result of that, if we lose those people from our healthcare system, they will end up going to our communities, spread the HIV and other illnesses, because they were denied these services based on some of the barriers which still exist within our facilities.
Lots to talk about there. Really appreciate you giving us a sense of where we're at, even though you have boycotted this International AIDS Conference. But your insights, as you said, you know, quite important, as well as your engagement, your continued engagement with the government of the day. We obviously have a new government. Are you optimistic about some of the new challenges that that would be brought about by a new administration?
Unfortunately, we are not fortune tellers, so and then the taste of the pudding is in the eating. We do not want to preempt to say the government of national unity or the new government will be a good or bad government, but what will determine that is how we engage with them and how they respond to challenges affecting the majority of the public healthcare users of our country, including people living with HIV, people living with TB, people living with cancer, and as well as mental health issues. And if our government, not at national level, both national, provincial, district, and facet level, is able to address these issues, it is only then that we can be able that the government, the new government, is a promising government. But if we still have political deployees and officials who still use the same attitude, it therefore means we will still have the same problems, and we will be left with no choice or option but to double up our efforts and make sure that we stamp our authority by speaking truth to power, speaking out in defense of the vulnerable and the defenseless public healthcare users of our country.
Anile Yawa, thank you so much for your time from the TAC.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.